Proud co-sponsor of Voices of a People's History, a movement of movements, on Wednesday, July 10th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Revolution Hall in Portland. Voices of a People's History celebrates diverse movement leaders by sharing their stories. Members of our community perform readings of notable speeches and essays from inspiring figures past and present, a radically empowering opportunity to hear the echoes of history in the present day. Again, that's Voices of a People's History, a movement of movements, on Wednesday, July 10th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Revolution Hall, 1300 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage, under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm your host, Stephen Siegel, here with co-host Rachel Haynes. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Stephen.
We are broadcasting around the world from Portland, Oregon. Both of us are public school teachers and host every second Monday of the month, where we typically interview educators and talk about what's going on in their schools and in their unions. And joining us today on the phone is Adie Hoag. Adie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Adie. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. We're just going to launch right in with some questions for you in our limited time. So tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background as an educator and your experience.
Sure. I live in Oakland, California. I am an elementary school special education resource teacher. And in terms of my background in education, I think it's pretty normal stuff. I worked with kids kind of through high school and college. I started working in some child care centers and early childhood education programs in college. I thought working with kids was fun and interesting, but what really led me to become a career public school teacher has been my work with the Eon Dam Caucus and
yes.
Really being an activist for civil rights and for public education for some time now. So that's really why I made the decision to teach in Oakland Public Schools full-time, and I've been doing that for about 6 years now.
And what do you enjoy most about your work?
The work I do that I get paid for with children?
Yes.
Yeah, that work.
I really like the work. I think that, it always feels like too much.
Yeah.
I always feel drained at the end of the day.
Yes.
it is fun and it isn't boring. I will say that. I mean, I previous to teaching, I had a job that paid me a lot better, but it was terribly boring. And so, the best thing that I like about teaching is that it's interesting, it's creative, it's fun. I like working with children. They are not a boring group. And, but also as an activist and an organizer, young people are just the best people to work with.
Mm-hmm.
They can be really determined and have bright ideas and really incredible enthusiasm. So that's what I love about my job.
So I know you mentioned that your work and involvement with the caucus, and I'm wondering about your involvement with your local and state union.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So EON BAM, Equal Opportunity Now by Any Means Necessary, is both a caucus in both National Teachers Unions, the National Education Association, and the American Federation of Teachers. But we actually started as a student-led civil rights organization at UC Berkeley, and that's where I started working with the organization when I went there from 2002 to 2004. But now we have many kind of local caucuses. I work in Oakland, and where we were just in Houston, we also had some teachers with us from Detroit, Michigan, from Berkeley, California, and we also have caucus members in Los Angeles and San Diego and other places.
Okay. Wow.
Great. So we're going to talk about the NEA Representative Assembly. Listeners, just so you know, I was at the Representative Assembly, and I had heard AD give a speech last year at the Representative Assembly, but I hadn't met her, and I had an opportunity to meet her this year and hear her speak on more than one occasion, and so that's why she's here today. So tell us a little bit about last year before we get into this year. What was it like to run for office? And yeah, what was that experience like?
Last year was definitely not my first time at the NEARA, but it was my first time running for office in that body. I mean, I have to say it was really exciting. It was great. I do, the RA is usually exhausting, and it can be very frustrating, but it also is always very exciting because it's kind of like seeing the whole world of politics, you know, play out in one room in kind of a small microcosm, and it really does feel good to be a progressive leader in that space and have people that, you know, agree with you, come up to you and tell you, and you know, it's fun to be a bit of a rock star there.
Would you mind, just for people in the audience who might not understand what exactly happens at a representative assembly, just a little bit about that process and what kind of business happens there?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if this is still true, but I did hear that the NEARA is one of the largest voting democratic bodies in the world. The NEA is certainly one of the largest unions in the United States, somewhere near 3 million members.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Representative Assembly, you know, I'm not sure, I'm actually not sure how many people it was this year, but it seems like it's usually somewhere between 5 and 10,000 people.
Wow.
At the convention. And so we meet in a big convention center. You know, people are seated in this huge hall, and people bring various resolutions that they feel are important to the work of the mission of the union, and people debate them on big kind of televised screens, and people vote in real time by saying yay or nay, and it can be a very fast-paced, and there were some really moving, really exciting, really frustrating debates on the floor. But I think, you know, especially as one of the largest unions in the United States, it's a place where we really feel like we can have an impact on progressive politics and kind of shift, what most people, most people there might consider themselves more mainstream liberals, and to, you know, being stronger, more progressive on a set of issues that we feel is really important to move the base of the Democratic Party in that direction.
And I mean, just as a little follow-up to that, do you feel like things that get moved in that assembly, that you can sort of see that policy take on a life within NEA as a whole and kind of trickle down to state and local unions? Do you feel like you see that movement in the year to come?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think it's hard to, you know, there's so many other things happening in the world outside the RA. It's hard to say, well, this happened there, and that's why, you know, this happened in a city or in a state, you know, however many months or years later. But I do, just over the time that I've been going to the Representative Assembly, I just clearly remember that when Eon Bam Caucus first started bringing things around affirmative action and around the DREAM Act, around, you know, protections for undocumented immigrant students, they were highly controversial. And now, you know, this RA took, you know, very, was able to stand up very proudly and make very strong declarations against racism, in favor of immigrants' rights. One of the amendments we passed called for shutting down immigrant concentration camps, which is, you know, a few years ago, I don't think that would have been possible. And so I think that, you know, it's a combination of the, you know, ourselves and other activists for immigrants' rights and anti-racist activists taking a stand in their unions and in that assembly. And it's also the experience that people around the country and that many of the teachers there have been through, you know, under the Trump administration, of shutting down the airport, of, you know, marching for immigrants' rights. But I think there's a really kind of dynamic relationship between the experiences that teachers may have at the RA and then how the experiences that teachers may have, you know, in their work and in their communities. I think they both affect each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into some of those proposals that were discussed and debated on the floor a little bit more. I'd love to start with the new business item that you brought to the floor, I believe, that focused on women's rights. I know I don't have it here in front of me, and I remember that it included mention of the Me Too movement. And then there was a section on a woman's right to choose. And of course, that was the most hotly debated. Tell us about that new business item. Tell us about whatever you think would be interesting to hear about it and how you feel about how things happened at the Representative Assembly.
Yes, I certainly can, and that was certainly one of my favorite moments. I just pulled it up on my phone. Do you mind if I read the language that was adopted?
Go ahead.
Not at all.
Okay. So it says, through existing media channels, the NEA will honor the leadership of women, non-binary and trans people, and other survivors who have come forward to publicly name their rapists and attackers in the growing international Me Too movement. Furthermore, the NEA will include an assertion of our defense of a person's right to control their own body, especially for women, youth, and sexually marginalized people. The NEA vigorously opposes all attacks on the right to choose and stands on the fundamental right to abortion under Roe v. Wade. So the reason I brought this NDA, well, that Eon Bam Caucus brought 9 resolutions
mm-hmm.
on, you know, what we think are going to be kind of the pivotal
yes.
and kind of cutting edge issues that are going to be really crucial to take a stand around in the next coming year and currently. And so we had brought a resolution last year around the Me Too movement. It was a good debate, and specifically around calling out Trump as a misogynist and linking, you know, the kind of movement of open misogyny under Trump to him, but also, expressing that, you know, the resistance movement, Me Too, has been an extremely important part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And for the women and other survivors who have come forward as a part of that, to see themselves not just as people that had the courage to tell their story and to, you know, hold one individual person accountable, but to really do what is so critical in this time. We wanted to both reaffirm that, especially after the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford and the appointment of Brett Kavanaugh,
mm-hmm.
But also because, you know, we are now seeing a national coordinated attack on Roe v. Wade, and abortion rights and the right to choose is, I mean, I feel is certainly in more danger now than it has been at any other time during my life. I was born in 1982. So we felt like it was crucial to take a stand on both of those issues. And honestly, it was in making the fight and having the discussions with our supporters at the Representative Assembly that I really felt like I learned and appreciated how important it was to tie those two issues together.
Yes.
How much it meant for, for women and others to be able to stand on the right to control their own bodies, full stop. And, you know, and how being able to, you know, defend your own body from, you know, attacks or unwanted attention should be just as much a right as having the right to, you know, determine its reproductive, you know, its role in reproduction.
Yes.
And so, the way the RA works is that you write down the language you want to bring, you submit it to, I don't know what the body that is called that kind of makes it official, and then it is printed and distributed to the entire body before it is voted on. And so many people contact you by email or by coming to find you on the floor to either tell you they want to speak to the issue or they want to amend the issue. And I had a number of people contact me, and one woman contacted me and she told me that she wanted to speak to the issue and that as a very young person she had been raped and then had to have an abortion as a result of that rape.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to speak to the issue. And I was completely moved by her story. It made such an impression on me and really made me realize the importance of tying those things together in a totally new way. And so We spoke together on the floor. I said a few opening sentences, and then she shared her story. And I think for a lot of people, it was one of the most moving moments of the RA. You know, after she spoke, she got, you know, a standing ovation from almost everyone.
Yes.
And there was a heated debate. I know a lot of people asked me to amend the language to take out the word abortion because they did support and they were worried that it wouldn't pass. And I mean, they seemed genuine about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very, you know, it was debated. People wanted to separate the two issues. But in the end, it was the leadership of the women that wanted to speak, of the people that had, you know, that felt emboldened by what the teacher that shared her story had done, that we were able to pass both of those together, you know, with the language that we wanted, without it being watered down. And just so many people came up to me and said how proud they were, and all the teachers that spoke in favor of the NBI just did so. Really, it really was a very proud moment of that convention, and made me feel, you know, a lot more confident going in to, you know, this next period of time where we really are going to be needing to defend Roe v. Wade. And I hope that the teachers that participated in that and were moved by that really do become leaders in making sure that we are not just saying that we defend Roe v. Wade, but really showing that in the streets and in direct action, because we're going to need to.
Yes. We are moving through our time so quickly, Adie, that
no problem.
There were a number of other proposals I wanted to talk with you about. We can skip a couple of them. The charter school proposal was just interesting to me to hear your comparison to the nurses, and how we could look at trying to get what did you make the comparison to?
Yeah, well, you know, NEA has been reluctant to take a hard position against charter schools because they represent some charter schools, but I think that's ridiculous because I used to work briefly for the California Nurses Association, which is a part of National Nurses United.
Mm-hmm.
And that union has a position of being for national public health care. We have a system of national public education. It's one of the strongest in the world. We should defend that system, and supporting charters, whether they say that they're public or private, for-profit, not-for-profit, the purpose is really to have a competitive, you know, privatized system. It is privatization. And if there are wonderful things that are being done in charter schools, there is no reason why they can't be done in public schools. And so I just think it's important for us to take that stand. And so, yeah, that we still have a ways to go there. There's certain, you know, there was the RA stood very strong, I thought, on questions of racism, around fighting racism, around fighting for immigrants' rights, around fighting for women's rights and for gender equality. Surprisingly, you know, the strength of the positions in terms of fighting privatization or war were not as strong. But, you know, I think it just reflects, it's such a tumultuous time in terms of progressive people, in terms of the Democratic Party, in terms of the resistance in trying to figure out, you know, how do we best fight this scary moment in history, and how do we best get rid of Trump Is it by being more moderate and pro-business?
No, we both say no.
Yeah. Or is it by really taking a strong stand against racism, against misogyny, and against privatization? And I think we all agree that it's the latter, and hopefully more people came away from that RA feeling that way as well.
So we only have a few minutes, like 3 minutes or 2 minutes, but I'm going to give you kind of a two-part question and just speak to this as much as you can in the next couple of minutes. One is, why should unions be involved in these issues? That's one. And then the second part of that is, what are your organizing plans for the next year, and what do you hope to accomplish? I know that's a huge couple of questions, but pick what you like to share with us in the next couple of minutes.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to speak specifically to teachers' unions because I am a teacher. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm a teacher is because we are the heart and the leaders of the community. I mean, people, first and foremost, I think, you know, any movement that's going to change history needs to be youth-led. But if you can connect a fighting teachers' union with a fighting youth movement, you have something that cannot be stopped. And so that, I do think, is really crucial. And, you know, when people say, you know, social justice issues are not connected to, you know, our labor struggles, it makes absolutely no sense. And particularly in the case of education, you know, every single facet of young people's lives affects their lives as students, affects our ability to teach, and, you know, vice versa. And so I do think it is, you know, it is a place where we have to make a fight around changes we want to see in all aspects of our lives and society. And I am really looking forward to turning the stance that the RA took into action, specifically marching and fighting to defend Roe versus Wade and shutting down the immigrant concentration camps here in the Bay Area, here in California, and around the country. And hopefully in that process, we can get some movement on impeaching Donald Trump as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's some fist pumping here in the studio while you were talking. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on KBOO.
Yes. Now go and get some rest, AD, because we had a hard week.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go back to watching Netflix. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And thanks to our engineer. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. Thanks, Stephen, faithful co-host. This is Rachel Haynes, and you've been listening to Labor Radio. Tune in next Monday and every Monday at 6 o'clock to catch another Labor Radio show.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of People of the Drum on Saturday, July 13th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Gateway Discovery Park in Portland. People in the Drum is a concert celebrating the universal voice of the drum from the Native, Mexican, African, and Japanese cultures. Performers include the Painted Sky North Star Dancers, Metekia Yawi, the Alex Addy Drummers, and Portland Taiko. There will also be drumming workshops for youth and more. That's the People of the Drum on Saturday, July 13th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Gateway Discovery Park, 10520 Northeast Halsey Street in Portland. More information can be found at kaboo.fm on the right side of home page under community events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. We're here tonight with Crystal Magana. Welcome, Crystal, to Prison Pipeline.
Thank you.
We're here tonight. We're going to be talking about the Coffee Creek Prison Fire Crew, and we'll also be talking about some stuff going on inside Coffee Creek. And I just want to say just a shout out to everyone who listens to Prison Pipeline. It is so, so nice to be back. I've been away for a long time, and it's really nice to be back. So, Crystal, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thank you.
Thanks.